I paid 260 euros for a pair of Crocs. Man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
Hey, yo, we are back. Kickback Pod once again. Episode 46. I am here once again with my man Fobs, and it's your boy Josh, aka Josh Dominic, aka JD Kicks. It's me. Hi.
What up, dude? How's it going?
No, that was my girlfriend's fault. Like, she's been listening to a lot of Taylor Swift. She's been blasting in the house today, and that one line from that song that's been stuck in my head all day. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me.
What song is that? Is that like one of the newer songs? Because I stopped listening to Taylor Swift like back in the acoustic days, you know, when she was like Teardrops on My Guitar. That was like a banger. But after that, I was just like, nah, sorry, Taylor.
Yeah, no, she put out this new album, and obviously it's been like number one in the world for like 5 weeks straight. And I think this song is like the biggest single. Dude, our listeners will be like, I can't believe we started this episode talking about Taylor Swift. Oh, man. What up, listeners? By the way, man, thank you guys, as always, for listening in. And shout out to everyone that sent us their Spotify end of year wrap up, showing us that they've been listening to the Kickback Pod. It showed up on their top five. That was amazing to see. And actually, that leads us very quickly to the fan shout out of the week. That is, Did I Get a W? That's his IG handle. Our big time listener from the Philippines who said he's been listening since episode one. So shout out to you. Did I Get a W?
Can I just say at this point, like, when I saw this in our sheet, like his handle or their handle, I don't know if it's he or she or they, but I read it as Did He Get Off? And then I was like, okay, like, I don't know what that means, whatever. Dude, but then when you read it out, when you're like, Did I Get a W? I was like, oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense.
No, like he DM'd me that picture, and he's like, he was like, if you're gonna shout me out, just to let you know, you have to read it as Did I Get a W. So he gave me warning. So shout out to you. Did I Get a W? But yeah, baby. So first of all, guys, the topic of today's episode, we're gonna be talking about all things underrated, and that's everything underrated about this year. So. The most underrated brands, the most underrated collaborators, and also the most underrated sneakers, of course. But as usual, before we get into that, I'm here with my man Fobs, and I want to know, the people want to know, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. I mean, life has been pretty uneventful, apart from all the dad shit that I'm doing at the moment.
That is eventful.
I mean, yes, that in itself is eventful, but it's a lot of like... I guess if you don't have kids or you're not into kids in that way, then you're, you know, not going to think that it's super exciting. But when you have a kid, or I'm sure there's listeners out there that have kids already, it's crazy how much they develop. So right now, like, my life is basically just working, chilling at home, going for walks, cooking dinner. But inside of that, it's like, you know, when my son puts his hand in his mouth for the first time, that's like such an achievement, you know? Or like when he can like roll over on his own for the first time, it's like a, oh my God, oh my God, oh my, did he just do that? You know? And you meme these kinds of parents before, right? Because you don't understand. But when you have a kid yourself, it's funny how these little tiny events are actually super exciting. So what I'm trying to say is, my life has been super eventful, but to the untrained eye, it's probably very uneventful.
No, I mean, it must be every single day there's probably some event going on. Just watching Lenny grow up, that must be amazing. So,
I mean, it's been pretty good. But what about you, man? You have been traveling. You hit the worst nicest city in Germany, Munich.
The worst, nice. That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I was in Munich just for the last week, and you know what? We need to talk about something, man. I'm gonna call out a whole country right now.
Oh man!
So, you know, there's like this there's a stereotype about Germany that the rest of the world has, and that is two words: German engineering, right? And no, not German engineering, sorry, German efficiency. German efficiency. German efficiency is like stereotype about Germany, right? And as someone who has been living now in Germany for, it's going to be 6 years in February, I can tell you German efficiency is a myth. That is a complete myth, okay? Because it doesn't exist. It only exists in one aspect. That is manufacturing. Germans are amazing at building stuff. And they do it very, very efficiently, very meticulously. And that's why they produce incredible products like cars, bunch of other stuff, right? But with everything else, it's the least efficient place in the world, man. And reason why I'm saying this is my train from Berlin. So I've been to Munich already 3 times now in the last 3 months, mainly for work. And every single time I'm going to Munich, there is always train delays. Every time there's train delays on the way there, there's train delays on the way back. And that's just the start of my rant. With anything else, like things that are so simple to do in other countries, like I just need to, for example, get my driver's license renewed. Making an appointment at the driving agency or the government office takes like months.
I mean, it's like they've come up with the most theoretically efficient way to do things, but it's not practically efficient, if you know what I mean. So they'll have these systems in place where it's like, okay, it makes sense for person A to talk to person B, and then for person B to pass something on to person C, because person C, you know, because then person C only does this one thing in this process. But that being said, when you turn it around and actually try and do this in real life and like turn it into a practical process, it doesn't work. So I 100% agree with you. I would say anyone who's riding trains in Germany, long distance trains across cities, needs to pick trains where you are not switching trains, right? Or where you don't have any layovers anywhere. Because if your first train is delayed, you're going to miss your second train. If you miss your second train, you're going to wait a long time for another train. And then you might have to take two or three other trains to get to where you originally wanted to get. So that's a pro tip. Only travel via direct trains. And the good thing for you, I guess, is that Berlin to Munich is pretty direct. It's just that once you're delayed, right?
But anyways, that's just my rant to start off the pod. But like, let's get into it, man. Let's get into it. Like, we got lots to talk about. So let's talk about what have we been wearing. So let me start off first. So I did manage to cop the lost and found Jordan 1s. Okay, everyone's sneaker of the year, or most people's sneaker of the year, for, you know, obvious reasons of the you know how historic this colorway is and whatnot. This is the first time I've ever copped a pair of Chicago 1s, first time I've ever worn a pair of Chicago 1s, so very happy about that. And yeah, I mean, as much as you and me on the pod before have kind of shitted on this colorway, saying it's kind of overrated and there's better colorways, I don't know, man, something about, once I had this pair in hand, wore them on feet, there's something about it. There's something about it that, like, it like just looks good with everything. It doesn't matter what you're even like wearing up top. You throw those on, it's like everyone knows, like, oh, okay, this guy's got some cool shoes. Or like, no one's ever like bashing the outfit if you're wearing those. You know what I mean? It's like those just kind of like by default take any outfit to like the next level, because it's a Chicago 1.
So what you're saying now is that you've crossed over to the dark side and you've left me here alone on the island of Chicago hate.
Yeah, man. I think I'm leaving the hate island, man.
You're joining the sheep, man. You're just another one of the sheep.
I've joined the sheep. Bah! I'm also a sheep now. I'm a Chicago sheep.
I mean, like I said, I've said this before, I personally don't like it. I think that they look like clown shoes on me, but I can appreciate other people wearing them. Like, don't get me wrong, when I see pics of Michael Jordan wearing Chicago's, or really nice outfits with a pair of Chicagos. And yes, like I agree, they look good, but I just can't bring myself to like them on me. So man, you do you, everyone else do themselves as well. I respect the love for Chicagos, but you're never, ever, 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 ever going to catch me wearing a pair of Chicagos. So, what I've been wearing this week, or the last few weeks actually, is because the weather's been pretty bad. And when the weather gets like this, you know, it's like that, it's always gray and you don't see the sun for like a whole week. And it gets a bit depressing in Berlin around this time. Although you're looking forward to Christmas, but like, anyway, the point is you don't see the sun, weather's not that great. So what do? You don't really try hard to dress up or whatever. At least I don't. And so I've been wearing my Eames Reebok Club C's a lot, as well as a pair of Morel 1 TRL trail running shoes.
Oh, are those like the high top ones?
Nah, not the high tops. It's actually like a pair of running shoes. They're Gore-Tex. Oh. They're waterproof. They're super nice.
I didn't even
know
Morel made running shoes. I thought they only made those like moccasins.
No, but I really want a pair of those. But okay. No, the running shoes I have, they're trail running shoes. They got like a nice Vibram outsole with a lot of grip. They're waterproof, completely Gore-Tex, super, super nice. And when it gets wet and when it gets icy, they're pretty much the best shoes you can have, in my opinion.
That's interesting, man. I should probably look into that. Because I'm looking for, man, like, so next week, I'm actually going to Canada, and I'll be there for the next 3 weeks until the end of the year. And I'm just like, this is, if anyone has ever been to Canada in December, it is like the ground that you're walking on is disgusting because it snows and then it melts the next day. And then there's just like this nasty brown slush on the ground. So if you're going to be wearing your nice sneakers, they're just going to get destroyed. And it's usually snowing every day. So I was like, I don't know what shoes to take with me on this trip because I haven't been to Canada during like winter season now in like 6 years. So this is like my first time going back in the winter in a long time. And I have no idea what sneakers to take with me. I don't have anything Gore-Tex, but maybe I might look into these Merrells.
Do it. They're really, really good. But talking about picking up sneakers, what have you picked up recently?
So since the last pod, so I picked up the Amamanier 4s, which I copped from the Amamanier website, like the original drop, and I finally got it shipped to me. Anyone who didn't watch my review already of the shoe, I said a lot about it, and I'm gonna say it again, not a fan of these. It's the color for me. So the materials are really, really nice. It's like this super soft nubuck. Like I've never felt a nubuck like that. It's like oily and soft, you know. It's really nice. But just the colorway, I just really don't like this colorway because it just simply doesn't look good on feet, in my opinion. So I've yet to see one picture on Instagram where someone wearing this, I thought like the shoes look good. Because in an outfit, I feel like these shoes, they just look like a insert shoe here, like a copy paste shoe here, you know. Like it's like, it just looks like a basic pair of shoes. It doesn't look like anything interesting. And there's some people online in the comment section who are like, oh yeah, every collab doesn't need to be like a super loud pair of sneakers or, you know, something that's really eye-catching. That's not even what I mean. I mean, like, even if a shoe is just like clean, even if it's like just boring, like if it's just like, for example, a nice white colorway, cream colorway, whatever, like you wear those with like those kind of shoes, they kind of like really enhance whatever else you're wearing. Like if you're wearing something especially kind of crazy, you can like tone it down with those type of shoes. But like this pair, I feel like just doesn't add anything. Like it doesn't look good with dark pants. It doesn't look good with light pants. It's a colorway that I just don't think is visually appealing. And yeah, I really don't like them. I really don't like the colorway. So definitely going to be selling them. I think you were a fan of these, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I didn't get a pair because I kind of snoozed through the release. I forgot to sign up to raffles and stuff like that. I was busy traveling, actually, to my grandma's. And was a little bit bummed out that I didn't get them. But, you know, sometimes I see it as, you know, I saved 250 euros not buying these shoes, even though I definitely feel like I would have appreciated them had I got them. I haven't seen a lot of people wearing them, or I haven't seen a lot of fit pics. All I will say is that the lifestyle pictures, or like the still life pictures of just the sneakers, I thought the colorway was really nice. But obviously it can look nice in pictures, but then not look nice in outfits. But again, I'll reserve my judgment for when I see more, more fit pics. But I'm surprised that you ended up not really liking them. But I guess, I mean, props to you for being honest, right?
Yeah, no, you said it perfectly. Like, it's nice to look at by itself. Like, when I had it in my hand, I'm like, oh yeah, these are a really nice pair of shoes. But then I'm like, but they're also not special if you're wearing them. But yeah, anyways, I thought compared to the other Amamanier collabs in the past, this one was a bit of a disappointment for me. Another pickup, so I picked up the Sporty and Rich Adidas Sambas. They're kind of like the leather version of the Wales Bonner Sambas that released earlier this year. In terms of colorway, it's almost identical. I like these a lot. The leather on this is super soft. And I was completely unaware that there was so much hype on the shoe, especially like if you look at some of the girls' sizes, they're selling for like absurd amounts for just like a green pair of Sambas. They're going for like 300, 400 right now on StockX. Crazy. But yeah, because I picked these up pretty easily. They were kind of just like chilling on the Confirmed app for like the first half hour or so. But yeah, I was pretty happy to get them. Really nice colorway. Shout out to Emily Oberg, who's like the CEO, I think, of Sporty and Rich. She left some hearts on my video.
Oh, man.
So shout out to Emily. Yeah, and so those are my two main pickups. Also, Black Friday, I picked up like a bunch of stuff, like especially since I'm going back to Toronto next week, back home for Christmas, which meant I needed to take back some Christmas gifts. So I went absolutely crazy on the Black Friday sales, bought a lot of clothes. One of the things I regret buying is Otto, which is like a big retailer here in Germany, they were having a crazy sale on the Germany World Cup jerseys. They were normally like 99.
I already know where this is going. Nice. Yeah.
Dude, I got it for a good price. So the jerseys are normally like 99 or 100 euros, and they were on sale for 25 euros. When I bought them. So I bought like six of them because I'm like, I'm just going to go back home and give them to like all my friends. Like, hey, I got you guys a Germany World Cup jersey. And I was hoping that, you know, Germany would have made it to the next round, because then I would be back home in Toronto while the next round is playing, and then we can all watch the games together. But of course, Germany yesterday got knocked out of the World Cup, and now I don't know what to do with all these jerseys. I have I got six jerseys in my house right now.
Did you get the home or the away jerseys?
The away ones weren't even on sale. Only the home ones are on sale. So I got six pairs.
Because the away ones are nice. The home ones are okay. I mean, yeah, it's a World Cup to forget for many reasons, but also for sporting reasons for Germany. But it's not a terrible kit. I think people will still appreciate the thought. And obviously, you living in Germany, maybe for friends and family that get the jerseys, it's more of a connection to where you are rather than how well Germany played, you know?
Oh, man. That's you put it all in perspective. that's true. So those are my pickups, man. What about you?
So I picked up pretty much nothing over the last few weeks. Did a bit of traveling, went to visit my grandma, and spent money on that, which was very well worth it. But I did pick up a pair of Stone Island pants that I've been wanting to buy for probably 2 years now. And then my big pickup over the last few months was I booked my flight to Thailand. Next year, I will be taking 3 months off work and taking some parental leave. My wife, myself, and little Lenny will be flying to Southeast Asia for 3 months, and I'm super, super excited for that. So that was like,
you know, I actually don't think I don't think our audience has any idea about your connection to Thailand.
I feel like I might have said it a couple times.
I don't think so, man. Because you're going to Thailand for 3 months to visit family. And I don't think our audience even knows that you basically grew up in Thailand.
Yeah, I mean, I was born in Thailand. I lived there for 18 years. My dad still lives there. So I haven't, for me, Thailand is home, right? Like, I'm German. I have a German passport. Both my parents are German, but I spent my entire childhood in Thailand. And so for me, Thailand is home. And due to Corona, I haven't been home in around 4 years now. And so going back, seeing my dad, seeing my friends, eating the food, seeing the old places I used to hang out at, going to the beach, just enjoying the lifestyle that you can have there when you're on vacation. I'm very, very, very much looking forward to that.
Dude, Thailand is like, it's almost heaven in a way. At least that was my feeling when I spent like a couple of months there a few years ago. Oh yeah, and the people are so nice. Always like every time they see you, Sawadika.
Exactly. The so land nice. Of smiles, they call it.
Yeah, man, everyone's always smiling. I love that country. Well, that's awesome, man. Jealous of your vacation. But yeah, that's an awesome pickup. Let's get into the topic. So we're talking about underrated everything. So we're going to do brands, underrated collaborator, and underrated just sneakers of the last year. And yeah, let's start off with a brand. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I will kick us off. Okay. And it is the brand that I was actually surprised didn't make our ranking. Remember when we did the brand power rankings?
Yeah, I was really surprised too.
Yes, and ASICS just missed out on our top five. And actually, I think ASICS made the listener top five. I would have to go back and check. But for me, ASICS is one of those brands that's always elite, right? Like, it's always one of the best brands around, and it's always just there. And so you sometimes forget about it because it's been a while since ASICS has really dominated sneaker culture. I would say the last time ASICS was dominating sneaker culture was like 2011, 2012, 2013, when everybody was collaborating on the Gelite 3, the Gelite 5. Ronnie Feig was doing his thing. Concepts was doing his thing. They had that whole world tour of the ASICS Gelite 3 for the anniversary. And since then, there's been some really, really dope ASICS moments, but I feel like it's become an underrated brand, even though it is so big. And I want to mention some releases over the past 12 months that I thought stood out, or not even just releases, moments, right? So you've got the Kiko Kostadinov line, which, as many of you know, I'm a huge fan of. Kiko is a Bulgarian designer who has his own eponymous brand, and he was always a big, big collaborator of ASICS, had some really, really nice collaborations, some nice sneakers, but also some nice apparel collections. And then a couple of years ago, he was brought in-house as the creative director of ASICS. And Kiko, with his design team, have really been reshaping classics. So you've got the Gelite 3, you've got the Gel Kayano 28, I believe the Gel 1130 as well, are some of the sneakers that Kiko and his team have taken and just revolutionized, basically. Just given a new makeup, like made them look a little bit more modern, a little bit more fashion, going a little bit more into lifestyle than into sports. And those sneakers have a cult following. So, you know, I'm sure there's listeners that are big fans of ASICS, big fans of Kiko. And I would say that Kiko is a huge reason why ASICS has still been in and amongst some of the best brands. But then there's also collaborations with Japan's Beams, of course. They just released I believe it was a Gel Kayano 14 with the Gore-Tex removable shroud, which was really cool. Then, you know, obviously you can't forget the Jound collaboration, which, I mean, let's be real, it was two general release colorways with Jound slapped on the heel. But people ate that up, right? People really liked it. It sold out. It's doing well on the resale market. And in general, the rise of the Gel Kayano 14, I mean, it's such a comfortable shoe. There's amazing colorways out there. And I believe that ASICS is one of those brands that has some of the best general release colorways. I would say ASICS and New Balance do it really well, where you could, you know, and New Balance with Teddy Santis anyway, but you can walk into an ASICS store or a New Balance store and you'll find shoes on the rack, on the shelves, that have nice tones, that are not too crazy, not too mainstream, and you'll be really happy with. So The rise of the gel count of 14 is also a big reason why I believe that ASICS is underrated this year. Then, you know, I'm going to rattle off some of these names, but you got the Naked, which is a Copenhagen-based women's sneaker boutique. They did a pair of 1130s in this really nice pistachio mint colorway. Then there was a pair of crazy 3D printed slides, which came out around the same time as, you know, the Foam Runner and all of that, like 3D printed craze. New Balance obviously did one. You've got, you know, Aleeks doing pairs that are, you know, Fear of God has their own kind of rubber clog Crocs type shoe. And I believe ASICS has one that's like the most modern and futuristic looking, which is really cool. And then obviously most recently released as well, the ASICS EX89, which dropped in a number of really nice general release colorways, but also in some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful New York themed Ronnie Feig designed colorways. For anyone who missed out on this release or doesn't know, the Ronnie Feig EX89 is similar to, I would compare it to the New Balance 550. It's an OG basketball silhouette that used to be around in the late 80s when ASICS was still in basketball and was kind of forgotten a little bit. And I believe that Ronnie Feig is following the 550 blueprint where, you know, Teddy Santis and Aime Leon Dor helped New Balance relaunch that. And they saw that, you know, New Balance was having a lot of success with a shoe in a market or in a sport that it traditionally isn't so big in. And ASICS thought, hey, why don't we do the same thing? We've got a good shoe. And man, Google it. Like, do me a favor and Google the ASICS EX89 because it is a beautiful shoe. It's very classic. It's like a court classic, but with the ASICS logo on it, which I think gives it kind of a touch of class. So yeah, overall, big, big fan of ASICS. I believe that they have had a good year, but they've also had an underrated year because I don't see a lot of people talking about them. I see people talking about Salomon a lot. I see people talking about Morel. I see people talking about New Balance and Nike and sometimes even Adidas. But for me, ASICS is one that has flown under the radar. And if I could wish for anything for next year in with regard to sneakers in the sneaker world, I would wish that ASICS has like a top three or top two brand year where people say, damn, ASICS is really back on the map. Because honestly, some of the most comfortable shoes, super stylish, great colorways, and yeah, just really, really, really nice design work from the brand in Japan.
Yeah, man, definitely. I'm Googling the EX89 right now, and yeah, I didn't realize that this was the same pair as that Ronnie collab, which was, man, I wish I copped one of those, because all three of those colorways were so fire. And this, yeah, this shoe can totally, you know, if they decide to really go crazy with it, have a couple of more collabs, I feel like this can catch on kind of like the New Balance 550 caught on, because it's the type of shoe that I feel like just the average person would be very comfortable wearing, because it doesn't really look like a dad shoe or like a 2000s retro runner that some people are probably not that comfortable wearing. This is a shoe that I feel like a lot of people would be very comfortable adding this to the rotation. So yeah, I can see this shoe becoming really big for them next year. And yeah, I mean, all the other things you said, we were going to talk about like underrated collaborators next. And I initially had Kiko as my underrated collaborator.
Ooh, I stole your thunder.
I changed it at the last minute, but I was going to say Kiko at first, mainly because, yeah, I know about this cult following you're talking about with the Kiko ASICS. And you can even make a strong argument for Kiko and ASICS being maybe the strongest running collaboration out there, collaborating partners out there right now. They have a long history and just like fire after fire. Yeah, it doesn't get like the mainstream press, but he's putting out some insanely good designs on these shoes. And it's like just like a match made in heaven between those two. Yeah, so
I agree. It's kind of like an if you know kind of collaboration, right? I think Kiko is more for like the people who are into fashion and not really sneakers but need to wear sneakers or want to wear sneakers. And it's, I mean, I invite anyone who's not really familiar with Kiko to just dive into the world of Kiko ASICs, and I'm 100% sure you will find something that you like. Yeah, for sure. What about you? What underrated brand did you have?
The brand I chose, it was Adidas. Okay, so hear me out for why I think it's underrated. So the reaction when Adidas let go of Kanye, the reaction I saw online was like everyone saying this is the end of Adidas. Adidas is a nothing without Kanye. Adidas is irrelevant. I saw that word being used a lot. Adidas is irrelevant without Kanye. And I'm like, who are these people? Like, why are they saying this? Because, like, first of all, the Yeezy line only produced around 10% of revenue. And that's, like, on the high side. There's some estimates that it's lower. So the only 10% of Adidas's revenue even came from Yeezy. Before Yeezy, like, Adidas has had such a long history, such a long successful history. They've been around forever. They are a giant in the sneaker industry. Stan Smith's to this day one of the highest selling shoes. Every single year it's one of the top selling shoes, and it's just like a basic white sneaker. Then there's been like a cult following for Gazelles for like forever. Like if you guys watch that, what's that show, Full Size Run with that, there's one of the hosts on there, Matt Welty, I think. He's like, yeah, one of those guys. He's like a super cult follower of the Adidas Gazelles. Like he only collects those. So like, and he's just like one person, but there's so many people just like that who love collecting Gazelles. And then like early 90s, the Superstars, right? The Superstars were out and they pretty much took over the world at that point because they were so popularized by Run DMC and hip hop culture. And then mid 2010s, like 2015 to 2017, like what was the one shoe that was on top of the world? It wasn't Yeezys. It was the Ultra Boost and the NMDs. Like, they were reselling. Every single GR colorway was reselling. Like, Adidas was dominating, basically, during that period. And right now, too, Kanye is gone, yeah. But, like, what's the most popular shoe? Just talk to any, especially, like, females. Talk to any female right now between the age of 20 and 30. Tell me what is their most coveted shoe that they want right now. It's a pair. It's a basic pair of white and black Sambas. That's what they want. And if you just go on StockX right now, look up like the most basic colorways of Adidas Sambas and look at like all the girl sizes. They're reselling for a lot, and these are just GR colorways. So Sambas have never been more popular than right now. My point is that Adidas will be fine without Kanye. Adidas has been fine without him. They'll continue to be fine without him, and they'll continue to be one of the biggest, one of the best sneaker brands out there. So I do think at this current moment, because of all the Kanye sentiment, at this current moment, I feel like people are kind of sleeping on Adidas a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree with you that Adidas is being slept on, that people are discounting them because of the whole Kanye drama. I also think that Adidas hasn't really done itself any favors when it comes to high profile hype releases or collaborations in the last couple of years. You know, you've had a few releases here and there that have played really well with people, you know, the Gucci's, the I guess Balenciaga was high profile, but I don't know if it was successful. I would say the Gucci collaboration was more successful. And then obviously, the love for the Gazelles and Sambas that's coming back right now, and, you know, fashion is cyclical. People are moving towards more honest footwear, more, you know, regular, no frills designs. And so, yeah, I mean, I'd say Adidas is definitely a good shout. I would say, though, that maybe they're not, they're underrated in the sense that they have so much potential because they've been so high, right? Before, I would say, mm-hmm. from like 2014, 15, 16, 17, they were the number one brand. And because of that, they are underrated now. But I would say that their performance has been pretty subpar recently. It's just that the brand obviously has a lot of potential. And so if they lift their performance to their potential, then yes, 100%, they will be considered one of the most underrated brands, or will be you know what I'm trying to say? That like now they will have been considered a underrated brand. Anyway, I'm ranting now, but basically, yes, I agree. Adidas is a good pick. It's funny that we both had brands with the letter A at the start. just a little fun fact for you guys out there. So moving on from brand to collaborator. So the thinking behind this, this category was basically, we'll look at it from the brand POV, but we'll also look at it from the creator POV. Who are some of the creators that are creating amazing product with brands, but are not getting the love that they maybe deserve, right? I mean, obviously the Travis Scotts, or the, I don't know, Aim Leon Dore and Teddy Santis, they're not underrated. They're perfectly rated. Some of them maybe even a little bit overrated. You know, looking at you, Travis Scott.
I'm looking at Jound.
also true. But yeah, we were kind of thinking, what creators have been making dope product, but it's either only resonating with a niche audience or community, or it's just not really getting the love that the product and the creator themselves deserve. So Josh, who is your underrated collaborator?
So sticking with the Adidas theme, I'm going to say Bad Bunny. And by the way, you guys saw the Spotify rankings that came out a couple of days ago. Third year in a row, I think Bad Bunny is number one in the world in streams, which is insane. Yeah, but anyways, that's besides the point. Bad Bunny, I feel like when we talk about these celebrities who get sneaker collabs, right? Everyone super hypes up Travis Scott collabs. And you and I have talked about it on this pod. Like, pretty much all he did was reverse the swoosh on his shoe. He gets so much hype. His shoes sell for ridiculous amounts. We'll look at some other high profile collaborators, Drake even. Like, I feel like Drake shoes get a lot more hype than Bad Bunny sneakers do. And I feel like out of all of the, let's run down the list too. Like, so many other high profile celebrities have had collabs before, like Billie Eilish, right? Billie Eilish is doing a collab with Nike right now. And she, in my opinion, has produced dud after dud. Like, her sneaker collaborations are painfully bad. and that's why they don't even sell out. They end up going on sale. But when we talk about like celebrity, high profile celebrities doing collabs, I really think Bad Bunny gets very much slept on because he's had, in my opinion, some of the best collabs out there. He's not just taking a shoe and making a very minor detail to it, like reversing the swoosh, or in Drake's case, you know, adding hearts on the sole of the Air Force One, or just, you know, putting a new colorway on a shoe like Jound does, for example. He's basically like completely transforming shoes. Like, look at what he did with the Forum Low. Completely transformed that shoe, added like extra padding at the back, gave it a belt strap, put his like eye logo at the back, and even the box and everything was pretty cool. Then the other collabs. This guy was literally sitting on the beach one day, eating his ice cream. The sun was shining, his ice cream started to melt, and he was like, you know what? Why don't we take this ice cream and combine it with the Adidas Response CL and make it a shoe? I mean, his Response CL is literally inspired by ice cream, right? Like, and it looks like that. It looks like it's like dripping, and it's just like, it, to me, it looks amazing. Like, I'm a big fan of that shoe. All the colorways that have come out. He's also put out those Adidas Power Phase, maybe the weakest collab out of everything he's done, but still a pretty ridiculously nice colorway on the Power Phase. And yeah, I feel like no one really talks about him that much when it comes to like the best celebrity shoes out there. But I actually feel like he makes some of the best designs and some of the best colorways out of all the high profile collaborators.
It's crazy to me because, like you said, he is the number one streamed artist 3 years in a row. He's more streamed than Rihanna. He's more streamed than Justin Bieber. More streamed than Taylor Swift. He's more streamed than Drake. He's more streamed than whoever else. You know, he is the most streamed artist. And the fact that his collaborations aren't, I mean, I know that most of them sell out, right? But the fact that Adidas, and I hate to bring it back, but the fact that Adidas isn't creating the hype around these shoes that they deserve is why I think that Adidas has been performing so, you know, below average recently.
I agree.
Because there's only so much you can do. I mean, obviously he can post about them, he can tease them or whatever, but it's the brand that creates the hype around it. It's the brand that has the marketing budget behind it. It's the brand that seeds it to creatives and influencers and celebrities and whatever. And it's the brand that can even use them on the runway in a fashion show, or, you know what I mean? And so the fact that these shoes are not getting the love that they deserve, because I agree with you, the response CL, great shoe and great colorways too. And I think his little melting ice cream details, they make the shoe even better than the original, which is hard to do, right? Because usually the OG is better than the collaborative version. So yeah, I'm 100% there with you. I agree that Bad Bunny is super underrated, but I don't think he is the most underrated collaborator, because in my opinion, Bad Bunny is just starting out with his collaborations, right? You know, he's basically where Travis Scott was when Travis Scott was doing the Air Jordan 4 and that Jordan T-Runner, right? Like where there's hype behind it, but it's not crazy like lineups and riots and whatever, right? And my most underrated collaborator, and I feel like Bad Bunny could get there someday, right? And I think it's all about building a portfolio and proving to the brand also to trust you with more creative freedom. But in my opinion, my most underrated collaborator is a collaborator that has been at the pinnacle of hype. He is still at the pinnacle of hype in certain categories in streetwear and sneakers. But for me, over the last 12 months, he hasn't done as much as he has in the years before in terms of quantity of product or volume of releases. And so I think that's made him a little bit underrated this year. And so for me, my pick for most underrated collaborator is none other, and this might be a little bit controversial, but none other than Ronnie Feig. And before I explain why, I want to hear your reaction, Josh. Like, what do you think?
I mean, I think it's crazy to call him underrated. Like, I feel like he's on the same level to me as like Teddy Santis in terms of people who we respect as collaborators. But you know what? I kind of see your point about he's had a quiet year, and maybe some of the collabs he's put out hasn't hit like before. Like, you know, he did that, what is it, the 10-year anniversary pack with New Balance. Like, he released 4 sneakers there. And I've been, you know, watching some people's, you know, end of year wrap ups of like, you know, best New Balances. And I've noticed no one's really talking about those. Like, no one's really kind of mentioning those. And yeah, and I agree. I don't think they were like his strongest collabs compared to other New Balances that dropped this year. So yeah, maybe he's fallen off a bit. But is that the same as underrated?
I would disagree here. I wouldn't say that he's fallen off. I would say that it's a mixture of other players being super strong. Teddy Santis, Aim Leon Dor, some of the other collaborators out there being super, super strong and super on their game. And Ronnie Feig and Kith just releasing a little bit less than normal in terms of sneakers, right? Because if you go back a year, 2 years, whenever there was a new Kith store opening, right, in Hawaii, in Tokyo, they dropped the Air Force One, the city exclusive, store exclusive Air Force One. And those flew off the shelves, right? So Ronnie still has the hype. He still got it. And I would say that the New Balances you mentioned are very, very, very good shoes. It's just that maybe the storytelling or the lead up to the release just didn't really spark the energy that I feel like it deserved. And that's why I picked him as my most underrated, because if you go through some of his releases this year, so we've already spoken about the EX89, right? It's an unknown silhouette, which I believe is probably an amazing new silhouette for ASICS, or a new old silhouette for ASICS, right? Because it's got that basketball flavor with the Ronnie Feig colorways, New York inspired, of course, New York Knicks colorways. And Then you go a little bit further back and he's got the 15th anniversary Kith Asics Jedi 3 colorways, which I feel like this year he's done a lot of like throwbacks to his previous projects. And like I would say, as good as the new colorways are and the new projects are, you're always going to favor the original, right? So if there was an original Jedi 3 that Ronnie Fike collaborated on, you'd rather have that one than the new one, right? Unless you can't have the original. But I think that in terms of building up his portfolio and his storytelling, it's been a really, really good year because he's dropped these like subtle, really nice shoes that if you don't get them or if you blink, you miss them and then they're gone, right? And they're not reselling for a crazy, crazy amount. Like you're not paying thousands of dollars for them. But you are definitely paying, you know, double retail. And sometimes people say, nah, that's too much for me. Like you said, the four pack of New Balance shoes, but then he's also collaborated with up and coming brands such as On. He collaborated with Roger Federer and On, coming up with two versions of Roger Federer's signature tennis shoe. It's a clay court shoe. They come pre-aged with like this like clay detailing on it. Really, really nice. And I feel like it's typical of Ronnie to put a lot of thought into his projects, right? But there just haven't been that many. And the ones that have dropped, I feel like have been overshadowed by other projects dropping around them, which is unfortunate because I think that there's a lot of quality there. And that's why I'm very much looking forward to next year because I hope that Kith and Ronnie continue to drop bangers. I mean, I don't know if you saw those pistachio 2002s and the 993s. That's a classic Ronnie Fike colorway, right? Super, super nice tonal colorway. And even that one sold out, but flew under the radar a little bit. Like I saw it on Instagram for a couple of days and then it was gone. It was nothing compared to the hype that the Jound Gel Cayano 14s got, right? Or nothing compared to the hype that the Jound New Balance 990 V3s are getting, right? Both colorways. And I would say that Ronnie's colorways are definitely, for me personally, again, this is very subjective, but for me, they're nicer than Jound's colorways. And yeah, that's why he's my pick for most underrated.
Okay. I mean, I think you've raised some pretty good points and I'm with you actually. I think right now, it's kind of like when I was talking about Adidas earlier as a brand being underrated. They have such a long history of successful, in Ronnie's case, a long history of really successful collabs that just maybe because it's been kind of an off year for him, I think people are kind of sleeping on him. But you're right, though. Like a lot of the collabs he's put out this year, they're very much like throwbacks to all his previous collabs. Like pretty much that entire 10 anniversary pack that he put out, they were all kind of throwback sneakers. And you're right. Like you probably want to get the OG rather than this throwback version. Yeah, so... But I think, you know what, he's good enough of a designer that he'll probably have a strong year next year.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm super looking forward to it. But I'm looking forward to everything next year as well. I just want to see, you know, who improves on this year, who, you know, regresses a little bit.
Oh, I'm really excited to get into our, like, I'm sure we're going to do, you know, like an end of year wrap up as far as like best sneakers of the year. Because it's been a very interesting year for sneakers, I would say, because there's not been like one brand that has really stood out, and there hasn't even been any like sneakers I think that are like, oh, this is obviously sneaker of the year, because there's been a lot of like good ones, but it's tough to pinpoint one as the sneaker of the year. So I'm excited for that episode. But let's get, speaking of sneakers, let's get into the top three underrated releases of this year. I'm going to go first. Before I give you my three, just one quick honorable mention, just because the sneaker just came out last week, actually. That is the Jordan 1 Low Zion Williamson Voodoo, it's called. And I'm surprised this sneaker hasn't received a ton of hype, because it's very much like reminiscent of like a Travis Scott Low. Very similar earth tone colorways. Really amazing detailing on there with the whole shoe is supposed to look like a voodoo doll. So it's got like these stitching detailing. The laces are done in like rope style laces and mismatched colors as well. I really, really like this shoe, and I'm hoping I can maybe get one for cheap, like cheap resale. But I think it deserves an honorable mention because it should be way higher on people's radar, in my opinion. But besides the honorable mention, let's go into... So each of us have three sneakers that we have for our most underrated shoes of the year. I'm going to start off first with my number three. That is the Jordan 2 Maison Chateau Rouge. So this sneaker released earlier in the year. And I think it's by far the best Jordan 2 to release this year compared to all of the other collabs we saw, like the ones from Union, for example. This pair, amazing leather quality on this. Like one of the best leather qualities you've seen this year. And the colorway is super nice with those hits of orange, that chocolate brown, chocolate brown details as well. Then you got the quilted lining inside, that super luxury lining. And also just like all of the little extras with the shoe, like the box came with those amazing Jordan illustrations, inspired by the hometown of the founder of Maison Chateau Rouge, who is from Senegal, I believe. So there were a lot of very interesting African detailing there. I really, really, really like this pair. And I'm not even a Jordan 2 fan or anything like that, but this was like the one Jordan 2 that I was like, wow, these are really, really good. So, and this one didn't even sell out. It didn't sell out. They were sitting on the sneakers app for several weeks. And I think it was disrespected a little bit. It should have sold out. I think definitely compared to the Union collab, I feel like these were way better. What about you? Let me hear your number three.
I mean, just real quick, I agree the colorway is super nice. I just, I'm not a fan of Jordan 2 highs. Like if it was a low, I think it would have probably performed a little bit better. But it's a solid first pick on your side. My pick is actually a sneaker that I realized I put into my top five sneakers of the year so far list when we did that in June. But I can equally think it's one of the best shoes and also underrated by everyone else. And that is the End Solomon XT Wings 2 collaboration. I think the colorway is called Sirocco and was inspired by the Moroccan desert. Beautiful colorway. I mean, I said this in the episode in June. This sneaker is... You know, it lives in the shadow of the XT6 and the XT4. It's an up-and-coming Solomon silhouette, if you will. I mean, you know, it's existed for a while, but I think people are really starting to see why it deserves a little bit more love because it's, you know, it's equally as comfortable and as sturdy as the XT4 and the XT6. But it's a little bit sleeker as well. And when you combine that with tasteful collaborations and colorways and beautiful color tones as this End effort has, then for me, I'm surprised that people don't like it more and that you can get them for a relatively decent price on StockX, right? Which, you know, obviously resale prices give you an indication as to how loved and how popular they are across the entire community or across the entire scene. And yeah, for me, just a beautiful, beautiful shoe. It's one that I wish I picked up. Maybe it's one that I'll get with my Christmas money. Who knows? But yeah, very, very solid shoe.
Yeah, I agree with you on this one. You put me onto this shoe, and you're right. The colorway is unbelievably good. Let's move on. So number two on my list, I just have another Solomon sneaker, the Solomon XT6. And I'm just talking about, like, it doesn't even matter, like, any colorway. I'm just talking about Solomon XT6s in general this year. Because especially, like, those of you listening from America, you guys won't really understand this pick because I'm sure you guys don't see Solomon too much. And to you guys, Solomons are, like, just either dad shoes or shoes that you only wear hiking and you should never ever see someone on the streets wearing them. But it's not like that at all this part of the world. So what I've noticed this year is that Solomon have definitely crossed over completely from being strictly a hiking sneaker to being a lifestyle sneaker, specifically the XT6. So the XT6 now, I feel like it's been worn by people who not only just regular people don't care about fashion, they just want something comfortable, they're wearing them. Then the fashionable people too. They love this sneaker as like an alternative to like the more popular brands out there, and it's just like very nice design and looks great on the depending on the colorway. And so the fashion people are buying it too. And also, like, they've kind of like gotten quite popular with the younger demographic as well. So I feel like it's not just a hiking shoe anymore officially. This year, it's completely transcended that, and it's like it's in mainstream sneaker culture, especially European side of the world. And I feel like it just doesn't get enough shine. People, I know, especially when I talk about Salomon on some of my videos, like, I'll get people like just commenting saying like, yo, is this a joke? Like, what, like, why are you even talking about this brand? You know, but so I feel like people really sleep on this brand and specifically this shoe. So I feel like I needed to give it a little bit of shine.
That's crazy to me, because in Berlin and in Europe and in the whole like high society fashion world that I was in for so long, Salomon has been a big brand for a while, for at least like 3-4 years now, you know? But of course that is a bubble, right? A bubble within a bubble. And there's people, like you said, listeners in the US, or, you know, your community as well, a lot of them in North America, who either don't know what Salomon is, don't really care, or just haven't had that contact with a brand that would then convince them of its quality, of its dopeness. So, definitely a good general pick right there. My second most underrated release of the year is the Adidas Supernova Cushion 7. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this shoe shits on the release, response CL, in terms of this is the shoe that Bad Bunny should have collaborated on. This is a 2000s runner that is sleek, it's sexy, it's got big hole mesh, it's got nice cushioning, great colorways as well, generally, not too expensive. You can usually get them on sale. So for anyone who's into the 2000 runner vibe but doesn't want to be wearing what everyone else is wearing, definitely, definitely, definitely take a look at the Adidas Supernova Cushion 7.
So as far as my number one most underrated shoe of the year, I'm actually going to give it to another Jordan sneaker. I'm going to give it to the Jordan 1 Starfish. The reason being, this sneaker actually also didn't sell out. And I just do not understand why or how, because this shoe is just so good. The leather quality on it, one of the best leather qualities this year. Better than the Lost and Founds, better than even the Taxis, in my opinion. It had some of the best leather on a Jordan 1 this year. The colorway is like maybe the most perfect fall colorway shoe we've seen on a Jordan 1 drop in the last couple of years. Especially if you were a fan of the reverse shattered backboard, this is a very similar colorway, you know, orange all over, with similar style color blocking. And I like that they use brown instead of black. It's just more of like a fall colorway. Everything about this shoe, every time I look at the shoe, I'm like, it's such a nice looking shoe. How did this Jordan 1, is Jordan 1 hype that dead that these didn't sell out? Because these are unbelievably nice to me. Like, one of the nicest Jordan 1s to drop this year. Even if you guys just look at the shape of this shoe, compare it to the shape of some other Jordan 1s that came out this year, the shape on these, you'll notice, is a bit different. Like, it has almost like a more retro type of shape, like closer to like that 85 type of shape. And that's also quite interesting. So I definitely feel people slept on heavy on this shoe. They're actually even still available. I just Googled it. They're available in a full size run all the way up until men's sizes, available right now in BSTN. So that's crazy. Like, they're still sitting completely all sizes. So that's unbelievable to me, man. These are too nice.
Yeah, I know you've been raving about those pretty much all year, or at least since they've dropped. And, I got to say, they have grown on me because of how much you've talked about them. Yeah. In terms of most underrated, though, I have gone with another runner. Surprise, surprise. You have been very Jordan heavy, and I've been very runner heavy. I have gone with a pair of ASICs designed by Kiko and his team, the FNS-3 Kayano 28. It is basically Kiko Kostadinov's version of the Gel Kayano 28. And let me tell you, these babies are beautiful. Oh, all three colorways. Nice. All three colorways are incredible. You've got like a really nice toned down mustard and steel blue colorway. You've got like a nicer dark, you know, dark blue colorway. And then you've got this really, really dope forest green.
Yeah, that's the one I need. Colorway. That's the one
I have. I that need. Colorway. I picked that up a few weeks ago, and man, it is so, so, so comfortable. It's so dope, like just the colors and the different paneling and the materials used. So for me, the fact that this shoe landed in sale, I actually got it for 40% off in my size, is mind blowing. Please, please, please do yourself a favor. Google this shoe. I'm going to say it again. A6FNS-3 Kayano 28. Absolutely banging shoe. And my top one underrated release of 2022.
Wow. I actually can see them on sale right now too. This green colorway is so hard, man. Wow. I need that. Green with the pink sole. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, very nice.
Super nice.
Okay, solid picks, man. Should we move on to some upcoming drops then? Finish off today's episode.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so like next couple of weeks, the year seems to be ending off quite strong. So December the 8th, we got the Drake Certified Lover Boy Air Force Ones. They're dropping basically a year and a half too late because the Certified Lover Boy album dropped summer 2021. So it's a very, very delayed release. Not a fan of these, man. I got to be completely honest. It's literally a white Air Force One with hearts on it. I'm sure they're going to sell out, and I'm sure they're going to resell. Those are going on December the 8th, releasing December the 8th. December the 10th, we have a lot of releases. The Jordan 11 Cherry will be releasing worldwide. A lot of people are a big fan of those shoes. We got the Bad Bunny. We've been talking about him this episode. The Bad Bunny Adidas Forum Low in the white colorway. Maybe the cleanest pair. I would say it is the cleanest pair from Bad Bunny to release so far. Watch out for those on December 10th. Also on December 10th from New Balance, we have the Bodega 9060s. And damn, I mean, besides the Joe Fresh 9060s, these might be the best ones. These look super hard. Really nice colorway too, like a light bluish color. Look for those on December the 10th. December the 14th, Billie Eilish Air Force One Lows dropping. Big, big skip for me. Like, I think they should just stop collaborating with her. Like her shoes are horrible, man. Like, I don't know if you've looked at some of her previous collabs. They are horrendous.
Yeah, they're very uninspired. They're like a level one collaboration, which is, in my opinion, you know, let's test the waters, see if this global icon can move pairs. And if they can, let's give them a little bit more creative freedom. But to begin with, they have like very limited freedom with what they can do with the sneakers and stuff like that. And that's probably why they're not amazing, because they have to work within a very tight framework. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm not a huge fan.
Also on December 14th, one of the favorite sneakers of the podcast, the Vomero 5s, will be dropping in a second colorway, the Cobblestone colorway, which I think out of this first batch of Vomero 5s, this one might be the best colorway. This like grayish color, very similar to like that protection pack kind of color blocking. Look for that on December the 14th. And then also December the 16th, we're going to be getting the Ambush Air Force One Lows in two colorways, blue and yellow, as well as green and yellow. Very, very loud shoes. The retail price, I believe, is quite high. It's like $180 for these. So I'm not sure these are going to sell out. The retail is a bit too high. And because of how loud these colorways are, I also don't see them selling out. But watch out for those anyways. December the 16th. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Keep listening to us. Share with your friends. Give us a good rating on Spotify and Apple Music. We appreciate it a lot. And I'm signing off, guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Peace, guys. Thanks for listening. Always a pleasure.